Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers finally dropped a road game, their first of the season, 107-106 to the Philadelphia 76ers on Wednesday night, dropping them to 14-5 overall and 10-1 away from Staples Center. The story of this game to me was missed opportunities. The Lakers shot 8 of 24 from deep, only 33.3%. Missed a bunch of good looks that I think if a couple of those go down, this is a different game. You know, maybe a game that the Lakers win by a few points. Even worse, they were 16 of 25 at the free throw line, 64%, including some key missed free throws by Anthony Davis and LeBron James. AD only went 5 of 10 from the free throw line. So he's really been struggling from the free throw line. I believe he is now, 26 of 38 from the charity stripe. That is 68.4%. So over his last five games, rather. So, you know, he's really been struggling shooting the ball. Was 0 for 3 from deep tonight. It's just one of those games. You know, they only had 11 turnovers, so that's a positive. And they shot, basically 48%, which, most nights that the Lakers shoot that well, they're going to win. They sent the Sixers to the free throw line 26 times. Sixers didn't shoot much better. We're just 9 of 25 from 3 for 36%. But the Sixers punched them in the mouth early. You know, I said this on Twitter. This was the first time since opening night that the Lakers were punched in the mouth. You know, if you remember, the Clippers got out to that big lead. I think they led by like 19 or 21 towards the end of that frame, and then took another big lead in the beginning of the second quarter. But the Sixers were up by 16 points at one point in the first. Lakers rallied to get that within 10. And then it was just kind of a game of runs from there where the Sixers would go up 8, 10, 12. Lakers would cut it down, but they could never quite get over the hump. You know, they tied it a couple times, got within, 2-4 points a couple times. It really, until the end of the game, frankly, when the Lakers took a 106-105 lead off of a beautiful ATO set, sideline out of bounds, where they set a screen for AD, put Joel Embiid in movement defensively, and AD was able to get a layup from LeBron, just a great pass and a well-executed play that looked like was going to be the game-winning play of the night before Tobias Harris drew a switch and hit a tough, contested, fadeaway jumper over Alex Caruso. He just had a size advantage over him, and there wasn't much AC could do. But I also thought, from a rotation perspective, there was a lot left on the table. I really thought that Frank Vogel dropped the ball in the second half. His first half rotation I was good with. Marcus Gasol played 15 minutes, was on pace to playing 30 minutes, which would have been a season high. He still ended up playing 24 minutes, which tied his season high. But I really was surprised by their decision to not play him in the fourth quarter. I thought he defended Joel Embiid really well. And Frank Vogel said it heading into the game, like, you know, the first thing on their scouting report was defending Joel Embiid. And Embiid ended up having 28 points, 8 of 18 shooting, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. And though he did score several times against Marc Gasol, including some contested jumpers, I thought Mark did a really good job of battling him, keeping him on the perimeter. And, you know, there were a couple breakdowns here and there, but Mark also had 8 points, a couple of threes, had three, you know, beautiful assists to LeBron on back cuts. You know, those two really have that connection. And I just thought Marc Gasol should have played more. I also thought Alex Caruso should have played more. He was a team best plus eight in terms of plus minus in 16 minutes. And, you know, the Lakers really, I thought, looked so much better with him on the floor. Yet he ended up playing, you know, only 16 minutes. And this was a game that they leaned, you know, more heavily on their starters. LeBron played 39 minutes. AD played 35. Mark played 24, which again tied a season high. So they were going with the starting group a little bit more. But I thought, and then this was also a game where Frank went with 11 guys. So THT got 7 minutes, which probably cut into some of Caruso's minutes because he started, he as in THT, started the second quarter, which is usually the time that Alex comes in. But, you know, I thought Alex really flipped the game. And afterward, LeBron called him the team Swiss Army knife. And he was like, you need scissors, you need finger clips, you need a bottle opener. Like, Alex gives you whatever you need. And that was the case in the fourth. You know, he really swung the game at several critical moments, had a big three, had a couple steals, you know, it was just making plays defensively. And of course, you know, Tobias Harris hits that shot over him, but that's a guy who's got what, you know, 8-9 inches on him and is a good ISO, you know, pull-up shooter. So you live with that, right? And you know, the Sixers had a good play. They drew the switch, and there isn't much Alex can do in that scenario. So you don't expect him to stop a guy 6'9", 6'10", pulling up over him. Like, that's just, you know, he's too small to defend that. I was actually surprised the Lakers didn't go with a different defensive lineup. I know that defensive lineup had worked well, but when you're talking about 10 seconds left, you're probably going to be switching. I thought that it might have made more sense to pull Dennis and put Kyle out there, or even Keith, and then just go like AD, LeBron, KCP, Alex, and then Kuz or Keith in that fifth spot. That way you would have had a little bit more switchability. Now, you know, maybe you still would have ran the same play, and Alex would have potentially ended up on Tobias anyway. But I think you would have had Kyle or Keith as that help guy. You know, someone that could rotate over. And I mean, again, you didn't know what the Sixers were going to do, and they still could have ran the same play. But I think it just would have made a little bit more sense to go a little bit bigger and more versatile defensively on that final possession. But, you know, so I think overall, this was a encouraging game in some respects for how bad they played, yet the fact that they still almost stole the game. But also discouraging because, again, they left some things on the table with the three-point shooting, with the free throw shooting, with some of the lineups and rotations that were used, particularly in the second half. You know, one thing I didn't mention was that in the first half, there was no lineup of meh. There was no Trez, Keefe, LeBron, Kuz, West lineup. I think actually it technically played 15 seconds, but, you know, Frank quickly took someone out for THT. I think he took Trez out for THT to go small. But they went to that group to close the third, to start the fourth. And then Frank rode Trez, who frankly had a very poor game. I actually think he defended Embiid decently well in several post-up situations. He forced him out to the perimeter, didn't let him get good position. But overall, just, you know, 15 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 1 shooting, didn't have an offensive rebound, only had one rebound overall. Did have three steals and you know, I guess was active as a help defender somewhat, but also had 4 fouls, ended up having more fouls than Marc Gasol, who played more minutes. So I thought the Trez minutes in the first half, he had only played 5 minutes, and I thought that made sense given the matchup. But for whatever reason, Frank went with him longer in the second half. I didn't really see it. I didn't see what warranted that. You know, I thought this, you know, was the last, you know, you're going up against Joel Embiid who played 38 minutes. Like, you should be playing Marc Gasol more. I think this is a game Marc Gasol should have played 28, 30 minutes. Now, I don't know if he's on a minutes limit. I don't know what the restriction is with him. You know, Frank hasn't said that. But to me, if you're going to play Marc Gasol more, this is that matchup. And again, I thought he played well. And you know, maybe down the stretch you want to go with a smaller unit. Frank said that he thinks that that group of AD, LeBron, KCP, Alex, and Dennis is their best defensive group right now. And I see that it worked, right? Like they I think they entered, when LeBron re-entered the game, they were down 10 and they ended up losing by one. So that group was a plus nine over the final 4 minutes of the game. But I still felt Marc Gasol should have been back in the game in the early to mid part of the fourth, which was a crucial time that the Lakers didn't really make up the score. Like they were basically in that, you know, 8 to 12 point deficit for most of the first half of the fourth quarter, if not more. You know, I think it got up to 12 or 14 at one point. So I think a questionable game for Frank Vogel. It's funny. I was just asked last game what I thought about his coaching performance, and I believe I gave him an A. And this would be the first game, aside from maybe the Portland game, where I thought it was questionable both to close with Trez and to close with Trez as the primary pick and roll defender against Jusuf Nurkić and Dame Lillard. Aside from that game, this is really the only game that I can point to and say, I don't really know what Frank Vogel was doing. I don't understand the Trez reliance in the second half after how poorly he played in the first half. And really, again, not showing me anything different in that second half to warrant the extra minutes. I don't understand the benching of Marc Gasol. I don't understand the lack of Caruso minutes. And yeah, I mean, I think those would be the three things I would point to. You know, I think maybe Kuz and Keefe could have played a little bit more. I look at a guy like Wes Matthews and you know, his 20 minutes, and I felt like that was a little high for his performance. So as Frank has said multiple times, this is all a learning experiment. The Lakers are testing things. They're tinkering with lineups, rotations, configurations. And I think, you know, some encouraging things were LeBron had 34-6-6, and to me was the best player on the floor. Joel Embiid had a really impressive start, but overall, LeBron controlled the game. To me, continues to look like the MVP front runner, and this only added to that. AD had a quiet 23, but I went back and looked at his shots, and I actually thought he did some good things. He scored on Embiid multiple times, took him off the dribble, and I thought did some good things there. You know, if he makes his free throws, you know, makes 7 or 8 out of the 10, we're looking at a 25-26 point night and maybe a Lakers win. And then Dennis Schroeder finally broke out of his slump that's been multiple games now with 16 points and 4 assists, took Danny Green off the dribble multiple times in the second half and really got going. So I think that there are things the Lakers can build and learn from this game. It is a disappointing loss when you just had that opportunity to steal it. But it was a game, in my opinion, the Lakers deserved to lose. And I don't think there's been many of them this season, but this was one of them. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back from this, how, you know, the next time they're in this scenario, which could be this Saturday against the Celtics, you know, what lineup Frank goes with, how he handles the fourth quarter minutes, the bench-centric minutes, and just sort of who's playing with who. Because I thought in the first half he did a great job, and I tweeted that out, that he deserved credit for not going to that unproductive bench lineup, for not really playing Trez that much. And then he did both of those things in the second half, and it just didn't really make sense to me. So, you know, I'm sure he's still putting a sample size together and trying to figure things out. He's talked about needing to get guys minutes, and that's, you know, one of the ways. But I do think that the lineup of meh, as has been coined by Lakers Twitter, needs to be retired. It just has not worked. It treads water at best, and usually is a negative unless LeBron just goes supernova, which we know is possible. But I don't think you could just try to rely on that on a nightly basis. So I think that lineup should be retired. I think Trez should not play as many minutes against a Joel Embiid type, against the Nikola Jokic type. Like, those are Marc Gasol matchups. or AD matchups, right? Like, you know, AD defended Embiid down the stretch, and I thought he did a good job against him for the most part. You know, Embiid had one move where he took him baseline, scored over him. I think it was like a reverse layup, and you know that was a nice move. But aside from that, you know, AD bothered him and forced him into some tough jumpers. So I think overall, I would have liked to see more of AD on Embiid.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's get into the Q&A portion of the show. I said that there was probably going to be a lot of questions, and of course there are. I'll just start here from Drew Burkhart. Why doesn't AC get more minutes? It's getting to be baffling. Also, ask Frank too, please and thanks. This is a trend. I want to say I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Caruso questions. So this is one of the more popular ones, this in AD. I'm not really sure. I do think that tonight in particular, THT essentially took Caruso's role in the first half. And you know he started in that group that Caruso will start with sometimes, and you know I think when they're going to 11 guys, as I've said before, I think Caruso and THT are more in competition for minutes than THT is with say Wes Matthews. I do think that it is a separate thing. You know I think Wes, even looking at the box score right here, like KCP played 27 minutes, Wes played 20. Like those guys are almost splitting the minutes at the two, or even the minutes at the three. You know, sometimes they'll slide up to the three as KCP closed at the three, but those guys are kind of splitting their minutes. I view THT and Alex as in competition really for the backup point guard minutes behind Dennis. So I do think that had THT not played tonight, Alex might have played 18, 20, 22 minutes, which I think is more in line with what he deserves. But I mean, really looking at the bench, you can make the case Alex Caruso is their best bench player. It's Caruso or Trez or Kuz, right? Like I think it's one of those three guys. And he should be leading the bench in minutes. I think, you know, like Trez is going to play a lot because Mark is always going to be in that 16 to 22 minute range. So there's just a lot of leftover center minutes. And until the playoffs, when AD is going to be playing more at the five, I think that's where Trez is just going to play, you know, 20 to 25, 28 minutes. But aside from Trez, who I think is a unique case, like, you know, former sixth man of the year, or I guess reigning sixth man of the year, a guy who, you know, signed for a discount, like, you know, Trez is one thing. But aside from Trez, I think Alex should play more than any other bench player. You know, he should play more than Kuz. He should play more than Keefe. He should play more than Wes. He should play more than THT. And that might mean the Lakers downsizing at times, but that lineup worked. And it worked against one of the biggest teams in the league. Like the Sixers were closing with their starters. And that's a pretty big group. Like aside from Seth Curry, who's a point guard size, and you could put a Caruso on him. Everyone in that group is 6'5", 6'6", and above. You know, Danny Green is only 6'5", but he has really long arms, is one of the best shot-blocking guards of all time. And then you got Embiid, who's 7'1", Ben Simmons 6'9", Tobias Harris 6'9". So like that's a pretty big lineup, you know, long, athletic. And Alex Caruso held his own and was a game changer defensively against that group. So I don't buy into the notion of you know, like a, if it's a size thing or just, you know, they want to play different wings. Like I think he on some nights is this team's third or fourth best player, third or fourth most important player. It's not necessarily a night to night, game to game thing, but, you know, AC should be in the mix more than he is. And right now, frankly, he's kind of like the ninth or 10th guy in the rotation. If you just look at the minutes every night, like he's probably the ninth guy. It's usually Trez, Kuz, and Wes playing more than him. He's in that ninth spot. And then it's Keefe and THT, 10th and 11th. But to me, he should be seventh. I think it's just he's better than Kuz. He's better than Wes. He should be playing more than them. I'm going to write more about this soon, but I'm totally with all of Lakers Twitter calling for Alex Caruso to play more. He just makes things happen. I think he should play more. Let's see here. 2020 City of Champs, 80 going 5-10 from the free throw line, and a 1-point loss really hurts. Hard to lose these games in regular season, but Lakers will only go as far in the playoffs as AD goes. You know LeBron will be there. So this is a sentiment that several, you know, someone else asked, ML Portley asked if AD was injured. And another one here from Shane underscore WD, how much of AD's up and down season is attributable to the long playoff run that he's never had and short turnaround? Should his effort level be a concern? So a lot of AD questions here. There's a couple more. I think AD is being held to his postseason standard, which I don't think is necessarily fair to him. I think a couple criticisms of him that are warranted are his rebounding has not been the same. His rebounding has decreased this season, and I think that's something that the Lakers need. Now, I know that they do have bigger wings and guards who are good rebounders. You know, Kyle Kuzma's rebounded the ball well. Trez has had some big rebounding games. We know Alex Caruso can be active on the glass. THT, obviously LeBron. Even Dennis has had some big rebounding games. So, I guess overall this might be a better rebounding team than last season, a more active rebounding team than last season. And, you know, so that might be contributing to why he's not rebounding as well. But I mean, his defensive effort has gotten a lot better. I think he's not fully back to where he was last season, but he's getting there. I think the defense has been pretty good. I think it's the shot selection. And, you know, the free throws are a problem, but I think that's something that'll right itself throughout the season. To me, it's more the shot selection. I think he's settling too much, especially coming off of last postseason where he was so good as a shooter, you know, was shooting in the 40s. In terms of his mid-range and 38% on threes, that he's kind of fallen in love with the jumper to an extent. And when you're that talented, you have that many ways to attack, that many weapons, it kind of just comes down to how do I want to play this? How do I want to attack? And for AD, it feels like his go-to recently has just been, okay, well, I'm just going to shoot over the guy. Like, I'm just going to pull up, I'm going to step back, I'm going to fade away. And he's talented enough to do that. And when his jumper is falling, he's literally unguardable. Like there's no player in the league that can check him when his jumper's falling. But when it's not falling, he is susceptible to some of the games he's had recently where he's been under 20 points. And you know Anthony Davis should walk into 20 points. Like if Anthony Davis is playing and he's not in foul trouble and he's not injured and he's playing at least 28 minutes, he should walk into 20 points every single night. Like he is that good, that caliber of a scorer, that caliber of a player. He should, with his eyes closed, be able to get 20 points. And that has not been the case recently. So for me, it's more of a, it's almost like a form of load management within the games where I think he's coasting a little bit offensively in terms of just not always putting the ball on the floor, attacking the rim. You saw tonight again, where when he attacked Joel Embiid, he was able to score over him. And Joel Embiid is, one of the best defensive players in the league, a perennial defensive player of the year candidate. and AD toasted him multiple times. So we know AD can do that, and I don't think he has to prove anything. I think anybody kind of saying that is being a little unfair to him after the postseason run that he had, where he was just, you know, absolutely dominant and unguardable. So, you know, I think AD deserves the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. Like, if he has a poor postseason performance, then, you know, some of these questions, I think, become legitimate and we can have that discussion. But until then, I think he's, you know, he's Teflon until next postseason, and we'll see how he performs. We could go from there. But I think, you know, people asking about an injury, I don't think it's at that level. Like, I think AD's playing better than people think he's playing. But he has not been himself. He has not been last year's version. This is a down year in some regards, in important categories, like his scoring, like his shooting, like his free throws, like his rebounds. So, you know, I think he's going to play better. I think he's playing better now than he was the first, you know, 5 to 10 games. So there has been some improvement, but it is a little concerning. I'm not going to say it's not. But I do think that overall, he's playing better than people are giving him credit for. He's been a better passer this year. You know, his three-point shot looks better. And, you know, defensively, he's actually, you know, being asked to defend guards, wings, you know, ball handling forwards more than he was in the past. And he's talked about that adjustment. So I think overall, you know, there have been some adjustments to his game this season. And he's still figuring all that stuff out. So I'm not concerned with him. I get the concern from the fan base. I get some of the disappointment or frustration from the fan base. But I don't think we're at like a code red level the way some people are acting on Twitter. Like, I think this is going to be fine. Let's look at the 40-game mark. Let's look at the 50-game mark. If AD is still performing like this, then, you know, I'll have a different tone. But if he's not, which I don't think he will be, I think people will look back at some of this stuff as it being kind of silly. Last one, we will close with at Manny Chokuba. I apologize. I probably butchered that. What's your grade on Gasol-Trez center combo tonight? Offensively, okay, I'm going to split it up. Well, I'm going to split it up. I'm going to grade each of them on both ends. I will give Gasol a B plus offensively and a minus defensively. I will give Trez a B minus defensively and a D offensively. Trez was not effective as a screener. He was not effective as a finisher. He was not active on the glass. This is a really bad matchup for him. You know, going up against either Joel Embiid or Dwight Howard. Those are two guys who are just physically imposing, you know, taller, longer, bigger, stronger than Trez. It was a very difficult matchup for him. Again, I don't think he should have played 15 minutes. I think that should have been closer to 8 to 10 minutes. I do think that he defended Embiid better than some of Twitter was acting like, but he also had a lot more help. Where if you go back and look, Marcus Gasol was often in one-on-one matchups with occasionally, if Embiid was starting to go middle, your Lakers having a guy shading over, doubling him on the dribble. Whereas with Trez, the second Embiid got the ball, Lakers had a second guy soft doubling him and then another guy in help side kind of ready for the drive. So the Lakers were paying way more attention to Embiid when Trez was defending him. So Trez did have more help than Mark did, but I thought he defended him okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. With Mark, I thought, again, he did a good job of being physical, not giving up great position to Embiid, forcing him into that 12 to 14 foot range, you know, forcing him into contested jumpers. And offensively, you know, I felt like had some really good moments in the first quarter, and then the Lakers just tend to go away from him in the second half. Like, it feels like, you know, it's one or the other. It's either the first half or the second half that Mark will hit a couple threes, get a couple assists, and be very involved. And then in the other half, he's just kind of quiet. And part of that's on him, but part of that is also the way the Lakers run their offense. You know, a lot of it is in LeBron's hands or in Dennis's hands, or that they're posting up AD or ISOing him. And, you know, Mark gets kind of lost in the shuffle. So I think overall, I guess if I'm combining the grades, I'd probably give Mark a B+ for this game, and I'd give Trez a C, C minus. It was not a good Trez game by any means. The one thing I think that helps him is he had three steals. I think his defense was better than we expected it to be, but he was a no-show offensively. You know, again, 0 for 1 from the floor, 0 offensive rebounds, 0 assists. Really did nothing offensively. Whereas Mark, had a couple threes, had 3 assists, and I just thought was more effective. So that'll do it for tonight's show. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha, JOVANBUHA. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out. If you have not liked and subscribed to this podcast yet, I don't know what you're doing, but be sure to do that. We would appreciate it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and are listening to this. Thank you, guys. I'll be back after the Detroit game.